7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 4 of Color of Magic. Man, it's crazy to think that's already been a month's worth of episodes. This is kind of wild.
I know, right?
It's insane. This is crazy. And we've been still getting good feedback, so I'm digging it. But, you know, I have some bragging rights this week.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so for those you don't know, the Mythic Championship 5 happened over the weekend in Long Beach, California. And the deck that won, played by Javier Dominguez, by the way, was Gruul. And this is what I've been telling people for weeks.
Ibercleave.
I told you last week, nobody, and I even had people come up to me and ask me if I was serious about taking the bets on Ibercleave, but nobody wanted to put money down on it. And then Ibercleave ends up this week being like a $20 card now. So there you go.
Daquan told everybody, people.
Yeah, I've been pushing that real hard. Man, this whole week had just piles and piles and piles of news still. I thought we had a lot last week.
Yeah, dude. The Banhammer dropped as we figured
out. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting to. So we had the Mythic Championship happened. And, you know, like we talked about last week, we're kind of waiting to see what happened, to see where the ban was going to end up this week. But on Monday, they only ended up banning Field of the Dead, which was interesting because if you read through their statement, it sounds like they'd already had that decided prior to the tournament.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure if the results mattered.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because there was a lot of speculation on if there was also going to include Nissa or Oko potentially. But in the end, it was just Field of the Dead. But, you know, it's weird. It's tough because I don't even know if this means that that's the right or the wrong answer. When you look at the decks that finished, you know, in the top 8, top 4 of the event. Because you still had a mono red deck. Yeah. You still had a Knights deck that was running around for a little
bit. That's right.
You did. I mean, you know, it was still in contention.
Tribal. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. But you did have a lot of the food decks too.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a thing. You know, blue-green decks were all over the place. So I'm not really sure if, like, here's kind of the concern, I think, for a lot of people. I think they saw Oko and they saw, you know, the Wolf and some of this other stuff just being really dominant. But when it comes down to it, were they more dominant because other decks didn't exist due to Field of the Dead?
I think there's a
and
lot
of Golos that. Decks. Yeah, and that might be the case because when you look at stuff that can possibly, like your spot removal type cards that you would normally play, were kind of worthless in a world of Golos, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be facing, I don't know, 20 zombies. What good is a, you know, 3 damage removal card?
I got one murderous rider.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if you're playing, maybe it is some version of Knights or some type of red-black aristocrats deck or something, then Murderous Rider is relevant against Oko.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't really know, man. This is going to be interesting. I think for as much as people are disappointed that more cards didn't end up on the ban list, I'm actually kind of okay with it for the time being.
And, you know, they never want to ban a Mythic Rare, you know, right out of the gate, especially one that's tied to one of the major mechanics of the set. That would be, you know, that's a gut punch.
Yeah, I as much as people don't want to think that way, I have to believe there is some amount of thought that goes in from a financial perspective for the customers, right? Because there is something that people like to bring it up a lot. It's like consumer confidence, right? If people went out and spent $30 over the weekend, well, now I guess it's like $40 or $50 on Oko's. I mean, that happened pretty fast.
His price will go up $20 during the podcast at the rate it's going.
Yeah, for sure. But if people run out and spend that money, how distraught, heartbroken, upset are they if the card gets banned on Monday?
I would be pretty ticked, personally.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think it's one of those things, if you look at Field of the Dead, you're like, okay, well, it's only a couple of dollars. It's not from the current set. So, it's not that big a deal if it ends up getting banned. But I think when it's something like an Oko that people just spent good money on, and it's a brand new card, and to some extent, you know, you're trying to still sell Throne of Eldraine booster packs.
Exactly.
I think that all matters. I mean, I think that has to be figured in on some level. Now, do I think Oko's still a damn good card? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I do think there are ways to deal with it.
Yeah, a lot more ways to deal with the Planeswalker than there was a land. So that's why, you know, Field of the Dead is the really the easiest thing for them to drop the hammer on and try to get the format back under control.
Yeah, and Oko's very powerful. You know, I'm not trying to dismiss that in the least. But I do think that the strategies change throughout the format that kind of make that a bit different. Because even, you know, to a lesser extent, there's a card like I was playing, which I saw Javier had two in a sideboard, I think. I think it's Red Cap Munitions, where you can deal four to a creature or planeswalker. If it's a non-red target, then you have to sacrifice a land. Which, that's a card that I used a couple times over the weekend. Actually, I played Gruul in a tournament over the weekend and won a box in that tournament, so that was kind of cool. But used it in that event and used it to kill an Oko because I was able to attack and then just use that for the... I only needed three more points, but it did four more points, and then that was it. And that solved the problem. So even cards like that can be beneficial in that world where you're not having to deal with all the Golos, Field of the Dead decks.
Yeah. And to me, not just from a competitive standpoint, just from the lore, you know, I like Oko. He seems like a fun character.
Yeah, he seems a little crazy, but, you know, the dude likes to feast and party, so, you know.
And he's got, like, an 8-pack, it seems.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
He's like, eats all the time, really, and he's ripped, you know.
Yeah, he's a ripped-up elf, which is it's kind of weird, but, you know, why not? Okay, so on top of that news, we still had other news. We got a new format. I don't know if you saw, but Pioneer is here.
I did.
So what do you think?
Are you crazy about the name? I'm not really crazy about the name Pioneer, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have a better one.
The only problem I have with the name, really, is that it's a little bit too similar to Frontier. And Frontier was kind of a community-led format in a way, and it really never got traction. So, I mean, that's that. I mean, granted, I think the average player probably isn't even aware of that, probably never played or saw any content. So I don't think it's a huge deal, but it's just one of those things that's kind of there, you know. Okay. In some type of postmodern something would have been a better name.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've heard of people jokingly, they created a format, I guess, called Overextended. That was a thing.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think the name is fine. I think it'll be like anything. You know, even when somebody, we had Modern, we kind of got over it. And it's not a thing. I think once it becomes a format, you just kind of get over it. I mean, people used to get mad when you went from calling Type 2 to Standard.
Yeah,
that was a thing that happened forever ago. So eventually it just becomes the term, you know, and we just get used to it.
Well, Type 2 does sound like a blood disorder or something. I mean,
I think it is, actually.
Yeah, it's like diabetes.
Got the beatus.
Yeah, Standard just sounds way better.
Also, though, we could have got a lot more memes with Wilford Brimley, though.
Yeah, this is true. And I do love the Wilford Brimley memes. And funny, it looks like there was, you know, looks like there had either there was a leak or there were some really good guesses. Because did you see all the Pioneer staples that got bought out all over the internet?
Yeah, there's a lot to that. And there was a Reddit thread where some people were trying to break it down and guess, you know, who had insider information or this, that, and the other. I'll say this. Looking at it, one of the things that I don't think people were aware of, which I think somebody actually eventually pointed out in that thread, is that if you looked at some of the coding, there was some stuff that popped up that you could see where a thing called Pioneer existed in some of the Wizard software.
Okay.
So if you were a forward-thinking person and you saw that, it is very possible that you could have made the leap that some of these cards were going to be sought after very shortly. Because the reality is, if you see that, even if you don't know the exact sets, it's safe enough to go, okay, it's probably going to be somewhere in this past 6 to 8 year range, right? So if I just go back and pick up a lot of those cards, you'll hit on enough of them that you don't need to hit on all of them, especially since you'd be ahead of the curve and a bunch of the stuff's going to start increasing 200% and 300% in a couple of days.
Yeah. So that'll easily pay off for anything you were wrong on.
Exactly. So I think it was a safe bet by some people. Now, and no, don't get me wrong. I'm not naive to think that like nobody outside of Wizards knew. I mean, I'm sure there were some amount of people that did some testing or some people that did some surveys that they had NDAs for or something. Yeah. You know, like some amount of that knowledge is out there. Like how much, I don't know.
As the old saying goes, if two people know a secret, that is one too many. And like you said, with testing and things, there's got to be a certain minimum amount of people that know. And it's way higher than two.
Yeah, now I can tell you from my time there, very little. Like, there's a big idea that like a lot of information gets out of side of Wizards. And Wizards is feeding information to like Star City and Card Kingdom and blah, 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 blah. Like, I can tell you that's not what's happening. I can say this. It's at least not happening within the realms of the work I had to deal with at Wizards. It is not happening now within the realm of the work that I deal with at Card Kingdom. Like, so if it's happening, it is outside of the zones of my view and influence. And that's all I can tell you. But
yeah, there's enough experience on both sides. So, I mean, I trust you.
Yeah, there's enough there, though, that there's a lot of times you can connect the dots, right? There's things potentially coming down the pipe that, having seen enough things, you can kind of go, okay, I sort of see where this is going. I sort of see what they're aiming for here. And you can sort of hedge your bets a little bit. We're probably not going to be 100% accurate, but enough that you get an idea of where things are going. Like, kind of like with this whole mystery pack thing that they were showing a couple weeks ago. I have two suspicions of what that potentially could be. You know, but will I hit or not? Who knows, right? And everybody's speculating on it. There's a lot of ideas. I could end up being completely wrong, you know, but it's just a matter of just doing stuff over a long period of time. Some of those people end up making very good educated guesses.
Yeah.
Now, that said, people at Wizards, they all have friends. They're all out playing Commander and going drafts with their friends at like each other's houses and playing draft cubes and whatever. Like,
yep.
Something probably comes up or something probably slips, or you're talking to one of your friends and they say something, whatever, and it sounds a little weird and they don't even realize they said it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. those types of things happen. So who knows, man? Who knows?
Or, you know, if one person starts, well, let's just say one person, even if they don't have information, they make some really good guesses. Well, everybody notices if you go and buy, you know, 50 of the same card. So that's also, hey, there's a run, you know?
Yeah, and it's tough, too, because I think on some level, there are people and players that get upset saying, like, well, these people doing this make this too expensive for these other players. But I don't know if that's really true, because the only difference is more of those cards went to a single person. But the reality is, if even two or three of those people go in and buy, like, their 4 or 8 copies or whatever they're, wherever they're ordering allows them to buy per order, then those places were going to increase their price anyway. Yeah. So more of like, so say a card's $10, three people go in and buy the max 8, say it like Card Kingdom, because they let you buy 8 at a time on an order. Well, then the people at Card Kingdom are going to look and go, hey, we just had 8 of these going out 2, 3, 4 times in a row. We should go ahead and hike the price. So they're just going to go up anyway for the next person. It's just, if people go and get a run real quickly, then more of them go out at the $10 price instead of the $12 price. So maybe there's a chance for one or two more people to get it at the $10 price. Yeah. But I think ultimately the price was going to go up anyway. And that's the other thing, too. If you've got any cards from Return to Ravnica to present, man, go check those boxes. Go get into your binders. Like those.
Yes, Lord.
70. Yeah, those 79-cent. Siege Rhinos, those things are like $2 now. Like, go, like, I literally looked at my wife. We were sitting on the couch the other day. I was just getting around to watching Stranger Things, the third season, because I'm like the last person who hadn't seen it. And I look over at her. I'm like, you know what? I think like a third of my collection just went up like 15-20% in 2 days.
Isn't that great? When you saw all the stuff that was previously garbage all of a sudden turns to gold.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I feel like I got rewarded for laziness because I just hadn't taken the time to like sell them off to an online vendor or put them into a bulk sell order or something, and they were just taking up space in a box. And now I'm kind of like, oh, it's a good thing I held on to all this.
Yeah.
I think, well, even you've been playing for a few years now. I'm sure you got some stuff that went up in value.
I realized because when they said modern is 16 years old, I'm like, no, it's not. And oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, the modern format came around, I believe, in 2011, I think. And then the sets you can use go back 16 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time, man. Yeah,
got 16 years of content. There you go. That's what I was saying.
That's a long time. When you think about the fact that we're just coming up on Magic's now 26 years old, right? That's more than half the lifespan of the game is available in that format. So when people sit and ask, like, why do we need this? It's because, like, in a lot of places, people are just having trouble just finding cards.
Yeah, modern
even
really
with
wasn't,
all the reprints.
Yeah, modern wouldn't really fill in the role of that set that, hey, okay, everything's kind of good, you know?
Yeah, and I think you also reach a point where when it's that big, the impact of the current set gets felt even less in that format.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, Wizards is a company. They're trying to make money. They're trying to sell cards. If those cards are more relevant and have more impact on that format, that's a benefit to them. So we'll see how it plays out. I'm kind of interested. I don't know if I'm immediately going to rush out and build a Pioneer deck or whatever, but I will tell you, like, I don't even know if I've enjoyed Modern for the last at least 3 years. You know, just I'm not entertained by playing a bunch of games that are effectively, whether they're over or not, oftentimes decided on turn 3 or 4.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of fun. You know, I've really enjoyed Standard a lot. I've enjoyed Commander a lot. So it's not that I'm not enjoying Magic. It's just that particular format I'm not really enjoying. Speaking of which, what have you been playing lately format-wise?
I've been kind of going back and forth between a green adventure deck, kind of just basically trying to draw as much as I can off of Edgewell, or the Innkeeper, and then I've been doing a little bit of, I got a food deck that's, you know, that's really what I crafted Oko for, then found out he did all these other ridiculous things in addition to making food tokens. I was just here for the food tokens.
It's a good card, man.
Well, yeah, it really is.
Like, this, and see, you're even talking to how good that card is. Like, you crafted some copies to play with, and you accidentally found out it was great.
Yeah. I just wanted to make food tokens. They're like, wait, it turns people into elks? Okay. Random but effective. I was just trying to play Giant Opportunity and looked into this nonsense.
Yeah, I don't think we are going to get away from a world where Oko is heavily played for at least a good, probably another 4 or 5 months.
Doesn't
I don't know
like
if it's
it.
Now, I don't know if it's going to be as dominant as people think it is, but I do think it is still a good card that we're going to see a lot of. I mean, because if you think about it, we went through the last season and we saw a lot of Teferi Time Reveler.
Yeah.
But as the format went on, we saw less and saw less and saw less as people developed more strategies and other decks and whatever, just with the existence of Teferi in mind. So it'd be interesting to see if people take the same approach with Oko, that if they start building decks over time, we start saying, okay, knowing this is a thing, you know, can I survive my creatures becoming 3/3s? Do I play with more enchantments, maybe, that Oko can't turn into an elk, that have an immediate impact and do something? Like, I don't know. The decks can look completely different. It's just now everybody knows what they're up against.
It's a whole new world. So, okay, I guess I meant to ask you, okay, if Gruul's number one, what's number two now? Do we know?
Well, here's the thing. I don't even know if Gruul is number one. I think Gruul won
Gruul
a big event.
Yeah,
and
I
think
good
it was
against Golos.
Exactly. I think it was good because of the other decks that existed. And, okay, and you know, I started out being funny, but let's not get the whole situation twisted either, that Javier did get in on tiebreakers to day two and day three.
Yeah.
He went 4-3, and I believe 4-3 were his two, his day one and two records. And then, you know, he ran the table on day three. So, I mean, that happens. You got to get a little bit lucky.
You talk about clutch.
Yeah, but he also got some early pairings, and he had to play against a Golos deck twice, which made it a little easier for him. You know, he survived a food deck, I think, is the only, he only had to beat one of them. So it wasn't a bad setup for him, as it turned out. Like, he actually got a pretty good road for the type of deck he was playing. With that being said, I don't think we can really turn out and say that Gruul and Simic aren't the number one and two decks of some variety right now. But I think that's very short-lived. I think even as early as maybe next week, you'll probably see some other decks popping up now that Field of the Dead isn't a thing to worry about. Because on some level, if you were even playing decks that were fairly low to the ground, you couldn't even get past the Field of the Dead stuff because they were just making zombies starting on like turn four sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, what do you really do against that? Like, they're just going to keep chump blocking you every turn till they hit like critical velocity and then you're just done.
Walk you dead in the house.
Other news. We have Twitch and YouTube accounts we have to remind everybody about.
Yep. We have to remind each other as well. So we have Twitch and YouTube accounts.
Exactly. We're just now getting to where we're using them regularly. So right now, if you want to see some of our streaming, that happens over on Twitch. You can follow either of our individual channels. However, that content will be hosted through the Color of Magic Twitch channel. So that'd be great. Matter of fact, Twitch has badges now. So if you are one of, I believe, the first 25 or 50 people to subscribe to a channel, you get a special like badge thing that says you were like, I guess, one of the early supporters,
basically.
Yeah. So that's kind of a cool thing. So if somebody wants that, those are still up for grabs.
I think you'll get different emotes and things too.
Yeah. So it's kind of neat. I think it's a cool way for Twitch to help some people reach the affiliate level a little easier. I think it's also a cool way for them to allow those pre-affiliate accounts to generate a little bit of money.
Yeah. And they've rolled out ad revenue now for affiliates.
Yes, I saw that as well. So there's a lot of things we'll be doing to try to take advantage of that here in the coming months, for sure.
Everybody can sell out, not just partners.
Hey, you know, everybody's just trying to eat, man. Everybody's just trying to eat. Yeah, but the reality is, though, we enjoy making content. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing this. You know, I think several people enjoy doing that. And this is a way to help those people that you do enjoy, that you do support, to be able to keep doing that and cover some of their expenses. Like, obviously, I'm not expecting to make crazy big paychecks off this right now, but if we get to where we're making enough to pay for some of the equipment and, you know, the fees we have monthly or whatever, that'd be cool. Because then we just get to do this as a fun project, share some content with everybody, and so not have to worry about the bills around it.
I shouldn't be shopping for Lexuses yet. Is that what you're telling me?
Not yet. You might be able to get you like a used Honda Fit.
All right. Great gas mileage.
Exactly. But I don't know about all that just yet. But yeah, and I also want to give a shout out to some, well, I don't know, like individuals want to be called out or not, but we did actually have some people share Color of Magic, like along a list of other podcasts people should be listening to this week. And I thought that was super awesome. You know,
especially since we're brand new, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we're a month in. This is still a fledgling project compared to the other stuff that's out there, you know, but it was great because somebody on Twitter had reached out and just asked, hey, I'm thinking about getting into podcasts. What are some I should be listening to being a Magic player? You know, and they recommended us along with several other really good ones that, I mean, that felt kind of good, you know, like we're doing something and people appreciate it.
Being mentioned with the legends and the luminaries of the game. It's just, you know, it's humbling.
Yeah, because, you know, they had us, you know, the like Arena Decklist podcast is great. Both those guys are awesome, Brian and Jerry. But like to even be spoken in the same breath as them right now is like Like, I almost feel like people are being too kind, honestly. Like, their production's great. Their content's great. They're really taking advantage of stuff lately with, like, YouTube and Twitch. And they're just killing it. So the fact that we're even mentioning the same breath with them, like, I totally appreciate it. I do want to give a shout out, though, to, the Thirst for Knowledge podcast. I don't know if any of you guys listen to them. They're actually really cool. There's a guy, Lawrence Harmon, I believe his name, is a host on there. And he gave us a mention over in his podcast. I thought was super sweet of him because totally not necessary. Again, especially with us being new. So we want to make sure we're at least reciprocating and giving everybody a mention who is also helping us out. Because I think Definitely. That's just the fair way to do things. So you got to get on the ball, Brian. We got so many people helping promote this thing.
I know, right?
Oh, man. We're having a good time, though. This is good times all around.
Hey!
Oh, you know what? We have a guest. Not only do we have a guest, we have two guests, actually.
He knows that even before he opens the door, people. It's amazing.
I know. It's fantastic. We're figuring this thing out, right? I got a peephole in the door, though, so it's all good.
Oh, okay.
But no, what it is, we have other people who also like creating content this week over on YouTube. So they do content, which looks like weekly, because, you know, I've been trying to stalk our guests and make sure I know what they're up to. they do some really good Commander content, seriously. You can find them on Twitter under the Mana Squad tag. But they have a channel over there called One More Mana. So let's introduce Sed and Ken to the show. What's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, thanks for having us on. How's it going over there on the West Coast?
Man, it is pretty good. It's a little bit cool for my liking. Definitely wet. They actually call this season like the Big Dark, I think is what they call it. And it lasts like 2 months of just getting past this like dreary, rainy, whatever, before it just gets cold for like a couple months.
What's considered cool in Seattle? I'm curious.
It's like in the morning you wake up, it's about low 30s, and then it warms up to like low 50s for the day.
I'm in Texas. 30s is like post-apocalyptic.
Well, yeah.
Here in Atlanta, it goes from I can't go outside to I can't go outside.
Dude, I feel you, man. I was down there. We were doing a speaking engagement at a MomoCon, I think it was, down there. And, man, it just gets hot. Like, I grew up in Texas, and it's already hot. But, man, y'all, you know, I thought it got hot in Texas. Y'all get, I mean, when they talk about hot Atlanta, like, you get some real hot.
Yeah, as soon as you open
there.
The door, you just start cussing.
For real. For real. I was trying to tell people, like, now we're way off topic. But, like, I was telling people up here, they don't know what hot is. Like, you live in a place that's hot for real, you get so used to like a procedure. Like when you go get in your car, like you got to open the door so all that hot air blows the hell out first. Then you gingerly get into your seat, especially if you got leather seats. You better not have shorts on.
You're trying to
like ease yourself down. And then you test the steering wheel to see if it's even like cool enough for you to be able to hold. You know, I'm like, it's crazy. It's crazy. I don't have to do none of that up here now. Like, it's crazy. I get it why people up here are a little bit soft, because like I don't even have sticker burrs in my yard or nothing. Dude, I can just walk barefoot out my, it's crazy. It's a whole different world up here.
All I know is someone I met from the West Coast said they would prefer all of their earthquakes, mudslides, even sliding off into the ocean than Georgia weather. It was weird.
Wow.
Damn, I ain't even about that. Like, let an earthquake happen tomorrow, I'm going to scream like a girl, for real. Hey, I ain't too proud, dude. I'll just tell you.
And Texas just randomly has started having them. Like, when I first moved here, earthquakes in Texas weren't a thing. Now, all of a sudden, oh, wait, you got earthquakes now. Wait, that just starts happening?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, guys, let's tell everybody about your channel and what you do over on YouTube, because I hear that you two do a lot of content on EDH. And Ken, what's that stand for?
Well, I would hope people would know what it stands for by now, but it's so shocking that you got to keep reminding people. EDH stands for Eldrazi's Doing Hair. They also do makeup sometimes, but they focus on the hair. That's right. We support small businesses, and right now they're doing a wash and dry set for $25.
Even Eldrazi's got to make money sometimes.
Exactly. Eldrazi got bills to pay. And here's the crazy thing, right? Like, I think about it on the one hand. I'm like, man, I don't know if I really want an Eldrazi getting all in my hair. But you know what? If you hire some Eldrazi, they got a lot of hands. So they might be able to do 2 or 3 people at once. So your efficiency is going
to
be real good.
I'm just telling you, man. You don't know what it's like to have 5 hands on your scalp at once. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there was this one time, but that was, you know, I was in college. I needed the money.
So, yeah, when people are over on y'all's channel, what can they expect to find over there?
Cool. So content-wise, we have deck techs. We have just quick little snippets that we can give you for synergy for your commanders. We have... we're also doing patron sponsored deck tech, so deck doctors, so fixing up our patrons' decks for them. In the early days when we got started, we got commander mints, so the unwritten rules of commander that everyone should know about.
The commander mints?
Yes.
Sent from the heavens.
That's cool. I dig it.
That's pretty much it. That's all that we have right now. But we have some other things in the works.
Cool. What do you guys got coming down the pipe?
So yeah, right now we're working on getting some gameplay video up. That's been one of the most requested things for our channel. We've also created a brand new show, a brand new game show doing Magic Trivia. We have one episode up, but we're about to have another one around the corner. So basically, it's a trivia show that's set up in a vein like you're playing Magic. So when you answer questions, you're actually dealing damage to your competitor.
Wait, what? Yeah. That sounds awesome.
So you start off.
Whose idea was this?
Something me and Seth cooked up. We were like, wait, what if you can play Magic in trivia? So basically, you have 3 rounds. Whenever you start off with 20 life, and we give you 2 tokens to block.
Man, this sounds crazy cool.
Yeah, it does.
I didn't know y'all were doing this at all. Like, this is awesome. All right, y'all. So if y'all are listening, y'all got a new thing y'all got to go watch over on YouTube. This is cool.
Yeah, we have one test episode that we've done, and we've gotten some good feedback from it. So we're about to start soon with just getting it out more routinely.
Man, that sounds fantastic. Like, this is the stuff I like bringing people on for, to find out about these cool new projects that people might just be overlooking or just aren't even aware that they're happening. So yeah, I hope this really kicks off for you guys.
That's the plan.
So yeah, thinking about you guys' channel, like, kind of what got y'all started to even do it in the first place? Like, where'd the ideas come from that you guys wanted to start pushing, or even what was your reason for wanting to focus on Commander?
Do you want the real answer or the fake answer we give?
Oh, man, you just give me the real answer. I don't care. Both.
Well, the fake answer is that we were playing Magic at a seedy place behind a Fuddruckers and got into a bar fight. But the reason why we got into this is because I met Seth back in college. And after he got back from Indianapolis, me and him started playing. He got me back into Magic. And we met up with this guy named Cowboy Kyle, who's one of the greatest people that you'll ever meet. He actually helped us start our Magic channel. And say a pickup from there.
Yeah. From there, we just figured, you know, we like playing Commander every week. We go out to these places and meet people and play all the time. We have conversations about it. Why not just put a camera in front of us while we do it? Something that we're really passionate about. And, you know, it just comes easy. It comes naturally. So just talk to the people about why we like to play Commander and what it is that we love about Commander. And we've got a lot of good reception starting off, but we just kept it going from there.
That's cool. You know, looking at you guys' channel, you look like y'all are having a good time, you know, trying to be funny and putting your personalities in there, which I think is really cool, in addition to putting in good content. Like, I'm just curious for you guys, like, how much time are y'all having to put in every week to get that content out the door regularly for people?
Ooh. Wow.
Let's see.
So I'll do the numbers on this, even though I hate math. So technically I'm the content manager, so I pretty much schedule what comes out and when it comes out. And also with that, I do most of the editing for the weekly content. Our third co-host, which isn't here, he isn't here tonight, Derek, he handles all of the deck tech stuff that I mentioned earlier. So he's able to film that solo dolo and get that edited and shopped over to the channel. But I would say collectively, I mean, this is hours, hours upon hours. And so we take probably about, you know, a couple hours of planning and then about 30 minutes for shooting and then about 2 hours for editing and then, you know, getting it uploaded and, you know, stuff like that. So, and that's just for one video.
Yeah, I feel you. You know, I think it's one of those things that there's the average viewer or listener, you know, depending on your content, I think looks and says like, oh, well, that's really cool. I should just do this. And we're not realizing that there's a lot of prep time and a lot of editing and stuff that goes into this. Like even for our show, I spend a lot of time, you know, reviewing different people, looking at websites. Like we've talked about before, I've got a list of like 50 different people, YouTube channels, whatever, that I'm still trying to like research, decide if we can even have them on the show and do an interesting interview. You know, then we're putting together sheets and contacting people. Then we do the actual recording. Then you do another 2 or 3 hours of editing or whatever to get it up, you know. So it's like there's a lot of time that we're taking out of that. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but, like, we still have day jobs.
Yeah. People don't realize.
Yeah, like after Definitely. Yeah, after I clock out and go home from work, I'm like, okay, now it's time to go to, like, do some editing or special effects themselves. Like I take my hat off to people who add special effects to their project because that is a time in itself.
Yeah. I've been looking at some of that stuff, you know, as we start talking about doing a little bit on YouTube and I'm just like, man, this is a lot of extra work. I need to make a little more scratch from this so I can just pay somebody to do this.
Like the great comedian Sid Caesar once said, We practice this for about 30 hours to make sure it looks like it's never been rehearsed.
Yeah, that's it though, right? Like I think everybody who's successful as a content creator, at some point over time, it's not even just making the content. It's also being able to put your content out in a very specific way to convey your personality, your goal, your image, whatever, along with just getting it out the door. Because I mean, I've heard of some crazy stuff where some of these people, like on Twitch, have something like, you know, 1 million followers and, you know, 100,000 subscribers. And they took a weekend off to go play in a major tournament for the thing they stream on Twitch. And they lost like 10% of their subscribers.
Yeah, it's insane.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. The Twitch crowd, yeah, that crowd is a little fickle. So you'll have your highs and you'll have your lows. But people are addicted to content sometimes. They're like, when you gonna have your next one out? Hey, man, I just went to the bathroom. Yeah. Can I get 5 minutes?
Yeah, like, and that was the weirdest thing for me to read because I'm like, well, one, I'm like, who's paying enough attention that you took 2 days off and they're like, nah, I'm gonna go in and cancel my subscription or whatever, you know? Like,
how dare you just take a day off?
Yeah, that's so beyond me.
I had a 12-year-old kid message me because I generally don't stream on the weekends. 12-year-old kid that watches my stream messaged me. Hey, damn, do you stream anymore? For real? For real, little dude?
I mean, just text him back. The Arby's line is extra long. Give me a minute.
For real.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing that people miss. It's just like, man, there are all kinds of weird demands on content creators these days. And don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here complaining directly because like we all made the decision to do this. Like we know what we're getting into. It's just amazing that that's the expectation that's out there. Now that we got you guys and we've got you all warmed up, we got to get to our next segment that we like to call 5 Fire Questions. Our guests tend to be very sharp, but let's see how they respond when we put their feet to the fire in 5 Fire Questions. So, question one that I've got in the holster. Which of you two is the better personality on camera?
Ooh.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tip my hat to Ken. Hondo Ken. He has a certain energy that I think people love to see, you know, whether on camera or in person. I think it just exudes like excitement and Just someone that genuinely people want to be around. He's very passionate about what he loves. He's a big nerd, and so people love him when he's nerding out.
I can't take all the credit. It's mostly the cocaine.
Right there.
I get it. It's the whole reason I keep Brian around, because I'll be trying to be serious, and sometimes you just need a good, fun comic relief in there, man, to keep things rolling.
I mean, that's kind of our shtick, though. Like I play the straight guy, and you know he's the guy I gotta, you know, pull back to the curb.
You gotta have that. It's important.
Yeah, because before we even released content, I was like, wait a second, I gotta run this past it. Hey, say it. Are we okay to post this?
Yeah.
All right, question number two. What would you say is your biggest goal for your YouTube channel right now?
Okay, so my biggest goal is just to there's a couple of things. One, I want everybody to be able to see what we bring to the table. We have a lot of ideas. It just takes time for them to come out because, like you said, we have work and other stuff to do. And my other objective is to get more people like us invested in magic. One thing that I love about magic that I discovered is that it's pretty much like chess, but turned up to 12. And if I can get more people to see magic through the way Mia Said sees it, and can get especially people from our community to become invested and sit down and play, I just think that'll be, I mean, hate to use the pun, a magical thing.
We appreciate puns around here.
Yeah, exactly. We are not upset at puns in this neck of the woods. Third question for me is, what would you say is the biggest reason somebody should come watch your channel?
I would definitely say we bring a level of excitement and passion that I just was not seeing in a lot of content that I was looking at when we first started out. Not even when we first started out. I was, you know, going through YouTube and checking out other content creators. And I hate to say it, but it was kind of blasé. I just didn't feel the passion behind it. Like, I know that they love the game, which is why they're doing content creation. But it's like, I feel like bringing a level of energy and just authenticity that, you know, where we don't try to be scripted. We just come off the cuff and
just raw.
You know, I can appreciate that. You know, when we started talking about even doing a podcast, part of it was because we looked around and said, hey, everything's kind of the same. You know, like for us, our focus was, hey, is there a way we could really lift up people of color that are in the magic community or in the gaming community in general that aren't really getting a voice or getting noticed right now? And we just went for it. So like, I can totally relate to what you guys are doing. When you look around, you kind of see a gap in the market, so to speak, and you're just willing to fill it.
I was looking at,
we couldn't believe nobody was doing this already.
Exactly. I mean, I'm watching people's content and you think they were mowing grass. I was like, what's going on here? Like, I play this card because I can turn it sideways. Good Lord.
Well, not just that, but it's that if they're not doing that, it's you know, they're just on there complaining and griping and bitching about something.
If we complain,
you know, and like, I don't want to tune into that every week.
Exactly.
Yeah, I fell into that trap. I fell into that trap early on and just kind of listened around to other YouTubers. And I was like, at first it was different in a way because it was content that I wasn't absorbing at first. And then after a while, I was just like, wow, you are complaining every week. And I don't think you're a person I would want to be around in person.
Here's a good a good comparison for me to that situation is that you look at something like the Command Zone, where they do amazing content. You know, their show's awesome. Jimmy and Josh are great. And people will get mad that they're not on there complaining more. And, you know, they do complain every once in a while when they have a legit complaint. But now I've not met Josh, but I met Jimmy, and they're really nice dudes. Like, they enjoy Commander. They enjoy just playing Magic. So they're generally happy. They're not going to have a lot of complaints. Like, that's not who they are. That's not their brand. Like, but it's
welcome to the internet.
Yeah, but it's become
why don't you hate more things?
Yeah, but people just expect that that's a thing you need to be doing if you're making content. And I'm like, no, you don't have to be angry all the time.
And that's my thing. If you really enjoy the game, how are you yelling at it every 5 minutes? Like, why would you be pouring so much energy into a game that every time you turn around, that vein in your forehead is about to pop?
Yeah, I don't get that either. That's a lot of investment for something you hate.
Exactly.
All right, Brian, you got two questions. What you got?
All right. Since we've talked a lot about, you know, content creation and, you know, just kind of the personas that you guys have on camera, in the inevitable One More Man a movie, who is going to play you guys?
Oh, I already got this answer.
Well, Kim, what you got?
My boy from Get Out, TSA himself.
Lil Rel.
Lil Rel.
I can see that.
I got the trailer in my head. In a long and dusty road, there was only one game. It was called Magic. Man, why would I spend my money on some cowboy coming soon?
I love it.
What about you, Sid?
Oh, man. I'm mad you thought about it that hard.
I believe he really had that trailer in his head.
Sid's going to pop off and say something like an Idris Elba or something.
Well, it's gonna be weird, but I see Denzel.
You're aiming high.
People who know me. We ain't got that kind of budget, Sid.
I'm gonna go get you your magic cards right now.
Like, I seriously have the trailer in my head for it now. Like, it's like Training Day. My man was saying is driving. He's like, "Oh, you thought it was a game, was it? You thought it was a game, huh? You better mulligan."
He's gonna put an epical on table and like, King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
He'll take seven cards. Now draw down to six. That was a mulligan. Uh-huh. You didn't know nothing about that, did you? Uh-huh.
We didn't land on Innistrad. Innistrad landed on us.
I will not bury my graveyard. My graveyard will bury me.
Universal Studios, get at us. Come on. This movie has to happen.
All right, Brian, what's your last question for these guys?
It's now that I realize I should have asked this question first, because I don't know if we can follow that with anything else. But this is a question we used to ask in SF Universe. Captain Kirk or Captain Sparrow?
Kirk, what are you talking about?
people have different questions.
I can't imagine Sid's got a different answer. Like,
this is definitely Captain Kirk.
Exactly.
It's a one-sided fight. You want me to be an old dirty pirate?
I didn't say it was a fight. You know, Aaron. I said they're fighting. Say,
no.
I'm just saying, who do you like better? It's not necessarily a fight.
Even then, though, like, you're going to tell me, even if I got to pick one to hang out with, like, one's got a spaceship and space women and all kinds of other stuff. This other dude just like,
he's not going to share the space women with you.
Like, this is who Captain Kirk's a sharer? What are you talking about? And first of all, you got
not with women.
You got.
I'm just saying, dude. You get to travel space and you walk around with a drunk dude who's just running from ghosts all the time. Like, and I just told you off the air about that dude with like that new Geico commercial. I can't even handle the damn mannequins in my attic. Ain't no way in hell I'm gonna be out there getting
chased by
ghosts.
Kirk's gonna run into a god or something. You're gonna run into Trelane and get turned into a toy soldier.
I get to learn kung fu from Spock. I get to go to play new planets. And what the only thing I'm gonna get from Jack Sparrow is rickets and maybe lice.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much. Scurvy. Oh, man. All right. Well, since we got you guys here and we've been having a good time, we're going to have some dinner table talk and get a little bit serious for a little bit here to kind of close it out. Because I know with the content that you guys create and everything that's going on, you had to have some kind of hurdles to getting this out there, getting it produced, building your communities. So we kind of just want to talk about that a little bit. About kind of some of the difficulties that come along with that, you know, because... You know, like we talked about a little bit off the air, was there are some things I don't think people consider when you start talking about like the content that people of color can and can't create, or how we feel about producing certain content, or the things we have to deal with because of the content we have created. You know, and as an example, I look at these people that have these like prank channels and they're out there being jokesters and pantsing people and doing all this, but like, I can't imagine at all a world where I could even remotely think I could get away with that. Like, yeah, like not even from a perspective of just like being nice to people sort of thing. Like, I just don't physically like I seriously feel like if I do that, I might get beat up or shot or arrested or whatever. Like, I wouldn't even consider that being
a thing. D, all of the above.
Yeah, for real. For real. But, you know, you see all this other content that, you know, not to just like zoom out, but there's a lot of white dudes on a lot of those.
Yeah, they
pulling all it off.
They have the privilege to be able to do stuff like that. And when they do it, it's seen as a prank. If some people of color do it, then that can be seen as active aggression.
It's vandalism, yeah, very much so. When we do
like,
it.
And I would never.
Exactly. It's if they do it, it's just, you know, boys being boys, even though most of them are 30 or 40 years old. You know, I've seen pranks where they'll walk, run up and grab a chick on her behind or something. And I was like, last time I checked, that was sexual assault. So why is he ha ha?
Yeah, for sure. Like that stuff, I've never understood when I see it. But, you know, you go watch the thing and the video's got 500,000 views, you know, and their account has, you know, some 20,000 subscribers or whatever.
At the end of the day, it's content that you are okay with and that you're happy with. And that's what the content that we do and that you guys do as well, that you guys do content that you can look at yourself in the mirror for. Some people do what I call selling their butt for likes and views. And I'm just not going to do that. I mean, if I have to do that, then I just keep the content between me and my friends.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it, you know, because don't get me wrong, like I would love to get that many downloads or whatever, and that'd be great. But it's kind of like you just like you said, at some point you got to look at yourself and say, like, at what cause, right? Like, what am I putting at risk? Like, is this something that I'm willing to attach my name to in the future if somebody were to bring this up? You know, like anything I put out there, I want to be able to stand by.
The biggest thing for me, it's a matter of, like you said, not just integrity, but you know, forward thinking and everything. But I got a family, so I gotta think about safety. You know, I can't have, you know, my image out there, you know, in the world, in the streets, doing whatever. And then the thing that going back to the original question you asked about, you know, how it's hard for a person of color doing this, is people are pretty brutal on the internet, and you know, doxing is real. People coming to find you in real life, that's real. We have people that we know that's happened to, and they've pretty much, you know, gone off the radar when it comes to social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, we've seen this happen with like friends of ours who were running channels and content channels, because like, and that's another thing too, the content they were giving out was in a fandom that was just so visceral, just so negative. And it's and that's another thing when it comes to content. Like, we haven't run into instances like that, fingers crossed, in Magic yet. But like, we've had friends who are content creators who run in that because of various fandoms that they were attached to.
Man, that's rough. You know, when somebody is able to push you away from doing something you really enjoy for a thing you have a lot of fun with, like that just sucks at its core. I mean,
I don't understand people who take things so seriously over, you know, a TV show, an anime, a video game, a cardboard game, like
whatever. I'm still triggered about Jack Sparrow. So you guys, not my friends anymore.
Well, his weakness is citrus. Okay.
Yeah, for real. But let me ask you a serious question. Like, I know you guys, you know, because most of your content's over on YouTube, like, and the YouTube comments can get kind of brutal on some channels that I've seen. Like, how much backlash or difficulty or whatever over things have you guys had to deal with?
Oh, yeah. So as hard as it is, you know, you try not to monitor your YouTube comments too much. Me being a you know, data gatherer, researcher, it's hard for me not to do that because I also want to see what people are looking for within our content. I would say 99.98 of our comments have been very, very encouraging, very, very likable. And then, you know, we get that 0.002% that's like constructive criticism, I would say. And I actually saw, you know, going back to that comment, just to check it out to see what their criticism was. And somebody actually checked them within the comment for us. So we didn't even have to say anything. And that's what I appreciate. So like Ken said, fingers crossed, we haven't had much issues in the Magic community with
that. That's great. You know, because one of the things we talked about, even with doing this podcast, is that we were probably going to hit some type of backlash and some negativity. And, you know, we were already prepared for it. We'd already had like a full discussion about it. Like, okay, if these things happen, like, here's what we have to be prepared for. Here's some channels that may reach out and, you know, whatever. But so far it's been very positive. So I can at least say that there has been a turning point somewhere in the Magic community that they have become supporters of a lot of these more positive movements, which I think is fantastic because I was not anticipating this by any stretch, but it's kind of awesome.
I'm just going to put it out like this. The more positive energy that you're putting out into your content, I think you're going to get that back. And it's kind of alludes to what we're, or points back to what we were talking about earlier about people who, you know, put out content that's just complaining about Magic every week. That's a little, it's a bit toxic in a way, and it's not something I want to keep in my vicinity. So it's about the energy that you're putting out, and you're probably going to get that energy back.
And at the same time, their trolls do exist. And we understand that down the line, maybe people out there who are trying to contact you just so that they can get your attention, or, you know, they think it's funny or whatever. So you have to accept the internet is real, and that's just the times we live in.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, there's always going to be somebody who, whether they're even for or against your message or what you're doing, doesn't really matter. They're just in it for the attention on them from whatever it is you're doing. And yeah, you got to just ignore those people. They're definitely out there.
Yeah, hurt people hurt people. They got something going on that the only way they can deal with it is by attacking you. And that's the only way that they can deal with those issues.
Message. That's a good way to put it. Hurt people hurt people. I think that's very accurate. You know, out of curiosity, is there anything that you guys have thought about posting or covering that you've decided not to for various reasons? Or like maybe you had something already produced and then you canned it or edited it out for some reason?
We pretty much put everything out that we want. I don't think there's ever been a time where we looked at content and we're like, you know, we don't need to put this out. I mean, we have a pretty much a vision and goal that we set up and that we aspire to. We do all our production meetings the week before to cover what we want to cover. But I don't think we've actually just created content. We were thinking, nah, this won't fit the current environment or something like that, or it may not go over well. I mean, if it hits, it hits.
That's cool. I can appreciate that level of stuff. I mean, we've tried to keep ours about as true to we can to what we actually record. You know, we take out some noise issues and this, that, and the other, but I try to deliver the content just kind of as it is. And, you know, that's it. To me, that's the only way you get the real feel. Like, you get your message across, people get to see you for who you are effectively, and, you know, they take it how they take it, but, you know, you can take the feedback as it comes. So I think it's awesome what you guys are doing. I mean, I think it's awesome you guys stopped by to talk with us.
Oh, anytime. Thank you guys for having us.
Definitely appreciate it.
One thing I would like to ask is there any advice you would give somebody who's thinking about starting a YouTube channel or getting heavily into content creation?
You want me to start, Seth?
Yeah, go ahead and I'll pick up after you.
Sure. Okay. One, know your audience. Know who you're trying to get your information out to. So that way you kind of create a demographic who you're trying to assimilate your message to. Two, be organized, be interesting. You want to be, there's like the problem with YouTube and especially other spots on the internet, either Twitch, other spots, is that there are a lot of voices on the internet. How is your voice different from the other voices out there? If you can't answer that question, then you need to consider, is this something that you really want to do? Three, the turnaround is going to be quick. It's going to be slow on the startup, and you have to be okay with that. You're not going to hit a million views right out the gate. So this is a slow process, and it takes a minute to build. Be okay with criticism, whether it's correct or not. You know, 30% of people agree with you, 30% won't, and 40% will just be neutral. And whatever your message is, just be true to you. If you find out that your content is turning you into something that you don't like or don't want to be, then you need to stop.
Yeah. Only thing I would add to that is, I guess, you know, don't be too concerned with what other content creators are doing. like you said, do have your own goal set and try to reach that goal. And, you know, you don't have to try to copy other content creators or worry yourself with what they're doing or content that they're putting out. Just, you know, find your lane, stay with it, and narrow it down. Don't be too broad. You'll overextend yourself if you're trying to do too much on your channel. And, you know, like, people won't know what they're getting into from week to week because you're all over the place. So narrow down what your actual target is and shoot for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's all great advice.
Very last thing is just networking. You know, be a genuinely nice person and just talk to other content creators. People actually want to help each other and, you know, just get exposure and grow.
Cool. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap things up on for the night, guys. I think that's great advice. I think both of you two are awesome personalities. I also encourage everybody to go watch your game show, because that's what I'm going to do as soon as we're done with this call.
Yeah. That sounds hype.
Yeah.
Me and you, Daquan. Let's go.
For real. I will totally go on. Like, I'm for it.
Then it occurs to me I should not challenge Daquan at Magic Trivia. That's actually probably a bad
we could
plan.
Do a tandem. We could do our podcast against somebody else's podcast or YouTube channel. Like, that would be fun.
Well, we'd be glad to set that up.
Good. You can carry me that way. I love it.
That's the goal.
My back ain't that strong.
That's a better
dude.
Plan.
My back ain't that strong. So, yeah, where can everybody find you guys on social media?
I just want to say real quick, the first trivia episode is going to be a little bit rough, but we ironed out some things. So hopefully the second and third, of course, are going to be a little bit more smoother. But as far as social media, you can find us pretty much everywhere, Facebook, except Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, One More Mana, and also Mana Squad. We should pop up on both of those in the same way. Also, Patreon is One More Mana as well. So those are places where you can find us.
Cool. Brian, where's your social contacts?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. So yeah, and Instagram also. So you follow me at all those places.
And as usual, I am at Power Dragon on just about everything. PowerDragon. And I think the only thing I would ask at this point from everybody is, if you haven't yet, check us out on Twitch and YouTube, like us, subscribe, share, and tell your friends about our podcast. We appreciate all the support everybody's given us. But for now, on behalf of the guys from over at One More Mana, Sed and Ken, and with Brian, I'd like to say thank you. And wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. We'd love it if you could follow us at patreon.com/colorofmagic. We're also on Facebook and Twitter under Color of Magic. You can go to our website and see blogs and updates at colorofmtg.com. We also ask if you could share this podcast with your friends. We can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean. Every little bit helps. And again, thanks for your support.